Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and what we usually do is go through the scripture. Today, we're going to start in a new book, and of course, there's no new book in the scripture, but it's new to us here in our trek through the scripture. And anytime we start a book, it's new. Sometimes I've done them before, but started all over. Been through the scripture once and going through it again. And when I finish it again, I'll probably just start all over again as long as the Almighty gives me breath and calls me to do this. I'll keep doing it. And I find that each time I go through the scripture, I see and I understand more. I get the bigger picture where you read the whole word and you understand the whole word and you see how all of the pieces fit together. Yeah, we live in, what a day we live in. These are times that are interesting, very interesting times. Like the old Chinese proverb says, may you live in interesting times. Well, if you're alive today, and you don't realize what interesting times we live in, then you're under a rock or living in some kind of delusion, or you're cut off from what in the world is going on. You just peruse the headlines, and they're full of warnings of the wars to come in the Mideast. Something is brewing over there. Something is going on. So we have wars and rumors of wars, and you'd say, well, that's nothing new, but even the most secure in the world feel that something is going on and are losing their security, because the security in the world, of course, has everything to do with money. Yes, money answers all things, but when the money starts to become unstable, well, then the answer to all things becomes unstable. We see a big shift coming on the world scene. And of course, the Word of God has the answer for that big shift that's coming on. And many people believe in the popular prophecy out there, the left behind, late great planet Earth, futurist, eschatological scheme of things. So they're all got their rapture seatbelts on. And they're ready to be raptured out. I'm still looking for the rapture in the Bible as it is defined by the popular eschatology. And I can't find it. That was a problem for me, you know, some 15 years ago when I started looking into it, because I believed in it and started studying and teaching the scriptures. And I thought, well, you know, I got to look into this and I got to be able to prove my case, biblically speaking. And I looked in the scripture and lo and behold, I could not find a pre-last trump. You know, you read about it, the last trump, the trump will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive and remain and we shall be caught up together. So this is like a together event. They're going to be caught up together. And I don't see any place where it says that 3.5 or 7 years before this event, there's going to be a separate resurrection where people are going to be changed in the moment in a twinkling of an eye. I believe this is when the last trump sounds. That's exactly what it says too. So there's no pre-last trump event. There's no pre-last Trump. There's no the first Trump, second, you know, it just, I can't find it. It's not there. I looked and just could not find it. So I've come to the conclusion that this whole rapture terminology has been invented to lead people astray as part of a great delusion. They have relegated the rapture they've relegated the resurrection, you know, where the dead in Christ rise first. But they're saying, oh, no, wait a minute. Those who are alive and remain are going to rise sometime before the trump sounds and be taken out of harm's way. Well, you start digging. And this seems to be a very hard scheme that seems so well embedded in the minds of not only believers, but unbelievers alike. Because if you talk to most unbelievers, they've heard about Left Behind. Many, many of them, you know, probably a good half of 5 in 10 of people who aren't churched and don't really read the Bible. So a lot of them go to church. That doesn't mean that they're really schooled in biblical thought, because a lot of churches, they don't even mess with the Bible anymore. They just, you know, the preacher gets up and he gives them a nice heartfelt message every Sunday, and they hardly study the scripture at all. But most people don't have a clue what the Bible really says. They have a lot of clues about what their preacher says and what is in this popular eschatology. So they've relegated the resurrection of the dead to one of three raptures. They've changed the resurrection of the dead into rapture. No wonder they use a Latin word for their Greek New Testament translated Bible, rapture. And lo and behold, you know, not only could I not find a rapture event separate from the last trump and the resurrection, but I couldn't find a 7-year tribulation period either. Couldn't find it. They told me it was Daniel's 70th week, but I did find that. And it followed the 69th week. And the most famous supporting verse for their tribulation doctrine is to juxtapose Daniel's 70th week is, they always call on this one first. And it sounds good. I mean, I used to believe it. They told all this stuff to me, and sounds good to me. Yeah, must be true. Well, they wouldn't lie to me, would they? Well, many of them, I believe, wouldn't lie to me intentionally. They wouldn't lie to me, would they? Well, if I believe lies and I tell other people lies, am I still lying? Well, I may not be intentionally lying, but lies are coming out of my mouth. And I can say this about men that I've loved that taught me lies, because they believed the lies. And I believe the lies, and they probably believed them just the same way I did. And even though I looked at the scriptures, I still believed them. But they'll say things like, well, here's how it works. You know, I believe in the gap because Jesus, when he got up and spoke in the temple, and he read a prophetic verse, and he said, this day has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears? You read about that in the gospel. Then he shut the book. And they say, see, there is a gap there. Because if you open the book back up to where he was reading, well, the next prophetic utterance is one that happens several thousand years later. So see, there's a gap. But there's a problem there. And the problem is this. When you go over to Daniel 70 weeks, we're given a timeline. Yes, a number. You're giving numbers. And that's the difference. Where the Messiah stood up and he read a prophecy and he said, this day has this been fulfilled in your ears, he shut the book. There was no chronology given in the text of many different prophetic utterances. There was no chronology saying this is going to happen within a certain allotted period of time. When you go to the 70 weeks of Daniel and read it literally, you see that there is a time frame given for those things to happen, and that they will happen within that time frame. 70 always follows 69. There's nothing else. There's no gap. One follows the other. You can't squeeze things in. And when you build your whole eschatological scheme on a gap, which you can only build upon by supporting verses, which is totally conjecture, it's not explicit in the text, then you've got a problem. Then you're not a literalist. So because the Messiah did come, and he did fulfill that prophecy. And the 70th week did follow the 69th. So there's no seven-year tribulation period. Yes, there are periods of tribulation that will last 7 years and longer, some shorter. Time of Jacob's trouble, yes, foretold, past. Time of Jacob's trouble is past. They want to take everything and squeeze it into a seven-year period that is built upon a fallacy, a non-literal interpretation, where they have to wrench something out of a time frame explicitly given in the scripture and place it somewhere else. Because if the 70th week hasn't happened yet, then what are all the intervening weeks? What about the 40 years or the 40 plus years that Israel existed after the 69th week was completed? It said 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince. Okay, they had 69 weeks to wait for Messiah the Prince, to show up. And he did. He showed up right on time. And in the midst of the week, he was cut off. Remember the prophet Malachi? You can read it there. It said, "And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." And Daniel said, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." It doesn't say he shall enforce the covenant. That is a retranslation with an agenda. A lot of people, well, I'm going to use that version because it backs up my eschatological scheme. But what do they do with Malachi? "The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to the temple." He did. Well, hey, that happened. Remember? 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince. Guess what? He suddenly came to the temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. It doesn't say the enforcer of the covenant. Oh, wait a minute. Because they're trying to make that out to be the Antichrist. There's a lot of problems with that eschatological scheme that they've cooked up. Well, things are happening in the world. We got a war brewing over there. All of these things by design. You know, there's an element of, you know, of lack of control where they can't perhaps control everything, you know, and I believe that there's a bit of chance that's thrown in there that only the Almighty has control of, just to upset their scheme enough for us to realize that it is false prophecy. But for those that are not born again, are not the elect, for those that don't care about the kingdom of God and his commandments, the commandments of the king, it'll be good enough for them to be deceived, to be taken in by the delusion that is going to come upon the whole world. And the scripture says, even the elect, if it were possible. And many of the elect are taken in by the delusion already. But there's going to come a point, a critical juncture, where the eyes of all of the elect will be opened, and they will see the delusion. The delusion is so strong that it says, even the elect, if it were possible. There will come a point where it will be impossible for the delusion to last any further, and the scales will fall from the eyes of all the elect. There's a point of honesty in the scripture where searching through the scriptures, looking to back up the eschatological scheme, the wall of false prophecy that I was taught and believed, where I had to say, well, you know, I have to reconsider this. I have to search this out. I need to not build upon supporting verses, a fallacy, because you see how even the supporting verses are fallacious. In the example that I drew, where the Messiah shut the book, and he said, "This day has this prophecy been fulfilled in your ears." And this is the supporting verse. Open the book back up, and you'll find out the next prophetic utterance in there is several thousand years off. So they say, well, there's a gap there. And it's true, there is a gap there. There's a gap of time, but there's something else missing. And the missing the something that is missing in their supporting example is a time frame for those things to happen. So it doesn't say those things have to happen right away because they're prophetic utterances. Some happened in the past. That one was fulfilled in their ears at that time, and he shut the book, and there were prophecies that were coming in the future, some thousands of years off. But you read the Daniel prophecy, and it says 70 weeks. No gaps. Because you have a gap where there's no chronological timeline given for those things to happen is no surprise. That doesn't mean now you can apply a gap to where a time frame, a chronological time frame is given. This is fallacious. And if you hang on to that, I call it self-deception. And if you are the elect hanging on to that self-deception, trying to support something by a fallacious argument, then you're going to be hanging on until finally the last minute, if you are the elect, where your eyes will be open. Yes, we are stubborn, are we not? Even the elect, we're all men. That's right. And one can be as stubborn as another. Consider the things I'm saying carefully. These are perilous times that we live in. Changes are coming on the world scene. The Federal Reserve note, which is the world reserve currency, is being allowed to crash on purpose. The United States monetary system, which was taken over in 1913 by the Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury. Yes, the enemy got smart, finally. Where is the power in the nation, if not in its money? You gain control of the money, you gain control of the nation. The Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury, and as everyone's learning, the Federal Reserve is not federal, and it has no reserve. Well, perhaps it has reserve, but it's not for the U.S. government. They use that money power to steal all of our wealth, to number every American, and to number every American, and to build their new social order and to spread it around the world. And their plan has worked perfectly. And they did it by getting people to volunteer. That's right. It's been voluntary. The whole socialist, the new world social order scheme has been voluntary. And now America has become socialist. And, you know, that's the difference between communism and socialism. Socialism is, I guess, voluntary. That's right. Communism is socialism by force. And we've seen our examples of that. You have where millions die who would not give in, who would not volunteer. So you have Russia, you have communist China, you know, and you have Pol Pot, you have all of the murderers, Stalin, who murdered entire classes of people who would not submit to socialism. So communism is forced fascist socialism. But that is the new world order, the new social order that is now going to be imposed. That is the mark of the beast monetary system, which will be imposed upon the entire world. That is why they're taking down their Federal Reserve. The same people that own the Federal Reserve, of course, placing the blame on corporate greed and the American way, making America the enemy of the world, making us, America, the scapegoat, while they legislated away all of the safeguards so they could pull off the downfall of the Federal Reserve. What do they care? They've got their new one world reserve currency planned, one world monetary system plan. See, because they don't want any illusions about it now. Everyone looked at the Federal Reserve dollar and they thought, oh, it's American money. It's America's fault. And they hate capitalism. They hate the free market. So they're using the free market and capitalism as a scapegoat for their planned demise and the global Great Depression that has just begun. So these are the times we live in. Very interesting times. And very scary times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can feel the fear around me. So what do you do? Fear God, keep His commandments, and live. Cross the border into His kingdom, the only kingdom that will last forever. That's what you do. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll be led by the Spirit. That's what we do in these times that are coming upon the earth. You know, and I don't for a minute wished I lived in another time. How about the idolatrous 50s? Oh, back to the days of Leave It to Beaver. I look back and all I see is rampant idolatry. Oh, they were good economic times. How about the days of Bill Clinton? Great economic times. It's the economy, stupid. But just full of idolatry. Fear God and keep His commandments. These are troublous times we're coming into. There is time to repent. And for all of the elect that are still in the delusional, you know, looking at the wall of false prophets, the popular false prophecy out there, wake up. Be honest about the Bible. Be honest about your interpretation. Lay it all down and start all over again. Consider an alternate view of prophecy. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we're going to jump into Joel.